Equipment logistics and automotive specialist Barlow World came out with their interim results. For the 6 months ended March 2019, the company reported headline earnings per share from continuing operations up 4.1% to 476 cents. While on a normalized basis, which excludes transaction fees associated with its latest triple BEE deal and some UK pension fund expenses, its headline earnings per share were up 14.1% at 521.4 cents. The company is reporting a return on invested capital of 11.3%, thus up slightly on 11% previously. The company operates in a number of territories, including parts of Africa and Russia. Shareholders are set to get an interim dividend of 165 cents a share. That's up 13.8% on the year prior. Well, to give us the latest report on the company and how it's doing, I'm joined on the line by Dominic Siwela. He's the CEO of Barlow World. Dominic, how do you feel about the headline performance of the company in the period under review?
I'm very pleased because the last 6 months has not been very easy. And we've had once off, you know, particularly in the pension fund, defined pension fund in the UK, you know, as well as the cost of the BE transaction. So when you normalize our performance, you know, we're up 14.1%, and that is no mean feat to achieve this under this economic climate.
Mm. So let's go through each of your divisions, shall we? I see you posted good numbers in your equipment division with revenue up 15.7% at 10 billion rand and operating profit up 9.8%. And interestingly enough, it was here on the continent that you saw progress. Just tell us about that.
I think if you look, you know, over the last, you know, 5 years, mining has been coming off, you know, and we see that bottom out last year, and you see the benefit of that coming through, particularly with the contract miners being awarded work by some of the mining companies. But they've also been buying equipment because the bulk of the equipment in these mining companies has high, you know, hours on them, so it was due for them to replace. So I think this is the beginning of a replacement cycle. And that, you know, you can see that our order book remains very strong at 2.4 billion. And we're looking at delivering again in the second half.
Hmm. So your revenue and profits declined in your Russian equipment operation. Is the poor performance there correlated to what's happening in that economy?
Not quite. I think, you know, last year, Russia had a historical performance. And in fact, they performed better than I expected. I thought their numbers would be far less than where they're at. They were down, you know, 22% in terms of revenue, but I think operating profit, they were marginally up, you know, both in dollar or and rand terms.
Hmm.
So that, for me, I think it is an excellent performance. And the mix there as well just shows that if you continue to sell equipment into your market, you also continue to harvest, you know, the aftermarket thereof, which has been demonstrated by a higher operating profit margin.
To what extent have you benefited from currency translation, because you do operate in a number of other countries?
I think, you know, if you look at our DRC operation, you know, it was very strong. You know, so 10% of that, you know, improvement in our DRC operation was purely operational. And the other 12% was mainly, you know, the translation.
Hmm.
And similarly with the Russian operation, we've seen the benefit of the weaker, you know, rand.
So you indicate that your automotive division did well despite a weak economic environment. And of course, we're seeing the stats month in, month out, that vehicle sales are really being hit hard. You guys managed to achieve an operating profit up slightly on the year before. So how are you keeping your heads above water in this division?
I think understanding that, you know, our division is very cyclical. We started about 18 months ago with a program, first and foremost, to eliminate and get rid of dealerships that are not doing well. And also, you know, tightening up on costs and efficiencies in that business. And we've seen the benefit thereof. And you'll see that the revenue is mainly down to, first and foremost, the revenue recognition change in our Mercedes-Benz, you know, business. And as well as, you know, we are seeing, you know, luxury market being continually hit hard.
Hmm.
You know, you're talking about, you know, BMW, Mercedes-Benz, and we don't see that change over the next 12 to 18 months.
Yeah. So in terms of the rationalization that you've made in the past 18 months, is that still a work in progress, or are you happy with where you are?
I think we're happy where we are because, you know, the last dealership that we got rid of was the Land Rover Jaguar dealership, you know, that we've closed out in the Witbank area.
Hmm.
You know, so I think with the current portfolio of dealerships, we are fairly happy that now we are actually focusing more on operational excellence.
And your logistics division, it looks like you had a bit of a harder time in the period under review. Just give us a brief idea of what happened there.
I think, you know, you remember that we put in a fix, you know, where we said you need to actually, you know, transform that business. You know, it was loss-making, and we've done so effectively. But we had to start selling some of the non-performing assets, and to try and sell such assets in a difficult trading market like we do now, we find that, you know, the KLL deals that we tried to sell, we're losing close to 52 million per annum in that business. Our view was that you keep on holding to it and hemorrhaging whilst we're trying to sell it, it was best for us to close it. You know, that has cost us about 66 million overall, you know, the operating, you know, losses as well as, you know, the closure costs. So, and then that's behind us. So going forward, you won't see that loss.
Right. And Dominic, going forward, are you working on any growth projects in any of your divisions or geographies?
Certainly. We've announced this morning that we've made progress in acquiring a Caterpillar, you know, territory out in Mongolia, which is adjoining our Russian, you know, our business. We are far down the line in terms of the transaction. We have already started with due diligence. And my view, we should be closing the transaction before the end of this calendar year. And secondly, we're losing a lot of capital, you know, that will enable us to look at an acquisition or two, sizable, you know, transaction that will be transformational in terms of our growth of our business. So all those are on the cards.
Speaking of transformational, you did touch on the BEE expenses. Of course, you guys have launched this Kula Sizwe Property Triple BEE Fund. It's open to the public until the end of this month, and we covered that issue extensively here on this show. So just tell us about the progress of that particular application process. Are you expecting to be oversubscribed? And just tell us why you think the deal is a sure bet.
I think for us, you know, currently where we're standing, we've got a lot of people that are interested. I think they have to show by depositing the money, you know, into the bank account as well. And we are already getting people saying it's quite tight. You know, they would like us to maybe just after month end extend that by 2 days or 3 days for them to be able to put their money. We'll assess that. I think, you know, I don't have a problem that we will be able to close the transition. A lot of people want to buy more shares than we would like them to. Our view is that it should be broad-based, you know, and I'll be more comfortable if people can just mainly buy, the 2,500 worth of minimum shares that are required, because that will mean a lot of people get that.
Yes.
Failing which, we might have to allocate more to those people who can afford slightly more in that. I think the nature of the deal is a slam dunk, because for you to be able to get an 80% loan with an equity of 20%, with a triple A tenant like Barloworld backing at least for 10 years, you know, it's easy to work out your sums, and, you know, rental income escalate over an 8-year period. So I think, you know, from a transformational point of view, we are sure that in 10 years' time, equity will be transferred to those beneficiaries. And then at that point in time, Barloworld will buy back the properties and issue shares of Barloworld unencumbered to the prospective BEE parties.
Well, folks, you heard the man. He says it's a slam dunk. Thanks very much, Dominic, for your time and your insights.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, take care. That was Dominic Suella. He's the CEO of Barloworld.